Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Oh my gosh, I had a little different thing to kind of say here, but as I glance toward the window in the studio here, and I'm glad we have one, I see it snowing. Turn around. Look, Cody, that's actual snow. See? Okay. Well, I don't know how I feel about that now. No, just kidding. Hey, welcome along, Voices of Montana. Today, we're going to be talking about something that I wish I'd have known a lot more about when I was younger. I know I'm not younger anymore. I know I'm immature still, but financial literacy, right? And where do kids learn financial literacy? Well, they can learn it in school, but there's a lot of places to learn it nowadays because there's good groups out there that are trying to teach it, knowing the value of it. In fact, Montana has a Montana Council on Economic Education. Dax Schieffer. Dax Schieffer is the executive director. We're going to talk about the stock market game these kids are playing. Launches today, and not today on Voices of Montana. The Montana Council on Economic Education, and the big focus today on the stock market game. But there's a lot of things that I think we can talk about here about, how do you teach kids about the economy, or the value, actually, of understanding that you need to have financial literacy moving forward. And how often, does our economy change to where maybe you're writing the book on financial literacy and every 2 or 3 years you've got to add a new chapter because we see things change, I think, economically. Or maybe it's the more things change, the more they stay the same. Let's pose some questions here and talk about the stock market game with Dax Schieffer, Executive Director of the Montana Council on Economic Education. Dax, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Winter is back. Nice to be on the air with you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Appreciate that. Dax also is the director of Voices of Montana Tourism, and so we can maybe throw some things out there a bit later on, too. Today is also Montana Mining Day, so I'm going to talk a bit about that later on, too. Matt Vincent, I got some comments from him, who's executive director of that. So still a ton of stuff on our plate. And Dax, let's get into this. This thing's real cool. I mean, I've got those generic questions about how do we teach kids, how do we convince them that they need financial literacy? One thing that you guys are doing here, and first tell us about the Council on Economic Education. It's been around, I think, longer than people know. And then some of these programs that you do, and then we get into the stock market game.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So, yeah, the Montana Council for Economics Education, it's been around over 60 years, and we are an affiliate of a national council. So we're a state group. There's other states that have councils. And then we have the benefit of also being affiliated with Montana State University in Bozeman, where when they meet their land-grant university mission, they want to have all their talent stretch beyond campus and get into communities. And so MCE is this perfect way where we're able to take programs at the high school level and get them spread around to all corners of the state and, in essence, really focus on economics and personal finance, which for us boils down to giving these young people the tools to make good decisions. This is a decision-making enterprise, and we know every young person, in time, they're going to sign a lease or take out a loan or use credit or choose how to save. And many of them do it without training. And we really feel like giving them these tools is like giving students a driver's license for the real economy. It's going to get them prepared for their decision making so that they can avoid some of the pitfalls that they might find if they don't have these fundamentals. And we do it in a number of different ways. Today we could talk about the stock market game. It's one component of what we do, but it's kind of timely because just today we're going to have this morning when the markets open, we're going to have 2,000 students across the state begin a competition. They've formed 900 teams to make investment decisions in the real market with a simulated $100,000. And they're competing with their peers. They're competing with the other schools, and it's this way to have experiential learning, to analyze a stock, understand public money, and be able to make investment decisions.
do kids understand how much they need this? Or because I'm gonna you know, put myself in their place, didn't have that concept. But then again, you know, our economy was different. Our culture was different when I was growing up in school. You know, we kind of had the American dream, and it was all cemented in, so to speak. And then we get into our economy, and we recognize, no, it's not cemented in. It's not baked in. I have got to do the baking myself. Are kids aware of that now?
You know, I think to myself, too. And honestly, I do believe the fundamentals have existed for a long time. There's many more tools out there. It is different in that way. But, you know, students who understand money, they're going to feel more control of their future. And that's true for adults who understand money are going to feel more in control of their future. You're going to be more confident choosing your career, your job, starting a business, continuing your education, and understanding trade-offs. Again, back to this decision-making, what's the opportunity cost from going plan A or plan B? And having those fundamentals so that you can make the best decision and, again, avoid some of those financial pitfalls that adults can find themselves in. And if we can start early, we think we're going to get just upstream and have better results.
Dax Schieffer is with us, Executive Director of the Montana Council on Economic Education, MCEE. It is econ, let's see, econ. EconEdMontana.org. I'm reading it right off the website. It's a good site, though, Dax. You guys have more programs in the stock market game here, the Montana Economics Challenge, the Big Sky Biz Sim, and others as well. And you know, all those principles that you're trying to accomplish with the Montana Council on Economic Education, go ahead and fold them in now as we talk about the stock market game. What is this, and why does it teach the right principles for kids?
Right. So when we talk about a student or a young person being ready to face the world, we're kind of putting it like in six categories. So they're going to need to know how to earn income. There's several ways to earn income. Understand their spending decisions, understand their saving decisions, understanding managing credit, managing risk. But the sixth category is investing. And we use the stock market game to really dial in why it's important to understand investing early. And I'm not going to speak for you, Tom, in your age, but I'll speak for myself okay. And tell you that these young people have an advantage that I don't have because they can, if they get early in on investing, they're going to benefit from compound interest. And time is the magic sauce to really have investments pay for themselves over time. And these having them, you know, take advantage of, If they can save and invest a little bit earlier, that's going to mean huge results for them when they're getting ready. Because, by the way, they're not thinking of retirement, but they should be at some point. And if they make these decisions today, they're going to then benefit from that.
So investing then, I mean, I like those principles, earn income, your spending, your savings, the credit risk, managing all that into investing. What and there's tools, I'm sure, that apply separately or maybe, you know, to all of them, too. Some like you said earlier, some stuff is very foundational. The stock market game, then, how do they play it? Is there real money involved? I know you've got a number of businesses that are supporting you, and I think that's a great thing. You guys have been around a while, and I see that on the website, too. So the stock, and have you played it with them, Dax? And do when you get your pants beat off, how does that feel kind of thing? Yeah.
You know, we love the simulation because it's real world. It's current events. When there's something happening nationally, internationally, it's impacting these students. They got to pay attention to those things. But there are some truths to how we work this, which is, you know, we get them for about 9 or 10 weeks, and they're going to see the market, and we don't know which way the market's going to go in the next 9 or 10 weeks.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to do some analysis and pay attention. And what we're really teaching is, we want them to optimize their portfolio balance. So they start with 100,000. We're going to see young people in 9 or 10 weeks turn that into 120,000. We're going to see some that are going to go big, and they're going to maybe probably end with 80,000. They're learning both directions. They're learning the lessons of the risk and what their tolerance is. We want to teach them how to diversify their portfolio, protect themselves. And so the simulation can really bring out, you know, really active, engaged students who understand this. But what we also do is we want to give them these fundamentals, introduce them, demystify what investing can be. But then ultimately, when it's time to be in the real world, you're taking much more moderate. You're not going to have the same risk threshold. So you demystify it in the simulation, and then that prepares them for the real world. And we've grown. Just 6 years ago, we were having around 200 teams this semester. We're at 900 teams.
Wow.
That is very intentional because we've had partners come in with us. We had Western Security Bank through all the Glacier banks come in. They took. There used to be a fee to invest in this or to participate. They've removed the fee. We want no barriers for any student across the state of Montana, big schools, small schools. You can participate in this program. By the way, you can still register. The trading started today, but it goes till April, the middle of April. So you could invest. You could start today.
Great point.
And
thank you. Good point. Yeah.
Good point. And they can get in. So the banks of Glacier Bank Corp, and they have six banks across the state of Montana, but they're covering those fees. But then we're in economics. We want to have incentives. And so they've committed $2,500 for each semester that we're going to give these students real money. And when they do well in this simulation, and that definitely keeps them engaged. And, it's fun to go into the classrooms, work with our sponsors. And it's been something that's been growing at a pretty quick pace. I'll bring this up. Policy is now, if you're a high school student in Montana, graduation requirements are that you need to take a half credit of personal finance or economics, which is fantastic. We've been very supportive of making sure that young people are getting these tools. Well, I think that also plays into the renewed interest in having simulations like we're offering because they're experiential and they're really standards based.
What do you want to know about the stock market that you haven't learned? That would be about everything, right? Or maybe you're picking it up a little bit here and there. And how long ago did you want to know this? That's the question that kind of stings a little bit. Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. We're talking about education and our kids, and not just, you know, the reading and the writing and the arithmetic, although this is a big part of the arithmetic. How does the math add up for you? Financial literacy. The Montana Council on Economic Education, which Dax Schieffer is the executive director of. And Dax, did you say it's been around 60 years?
That's right.
That's an incredibly long time. To have some understanding that we have to have financial literacy. It took a little while. I think it was when it got into the schools finally, it was kind of like specialized. But now it just seems like it is, like you noted, there are requirements for some kind of class for economics. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that is fair, actually. You know, 60 years ago, there was more focus on the economic fundamentals, supply, demand, pricing. Today, it is more personal finance. We always think personal finance decisions are grounded in understanding the trade-offs in decision-making and economics. But you are correct. It has become much more in the news as a necessity for young people to be successful today.
So teach us like you teach the kids. They're going to have $100,000. It's virtual money, so to speak. They're not going to be able to buy too much of the Class A Berkshire Hathaway stocks, because those are $762,570 per share. But they can get a lot of WM technology at 74 cents a share. I don't know what to do, Dax. What do we do?
Well, we have students, first off, kind of look around the world. What are the products? And listen around the world. What are people talking about right now? And even kind of think about their own brands. Think about what cars they're driving, what cars they like, where they think clothes they're wearing, the places they like to eat. All these are many of these are wrapped around publicly traded companies. We really probably focus them on the S&P 500 because these are larger companies, and they're going to, you know, in essence, you know, they have the market cap to withstand a lot of the volatility that might exist for really small companies. By the way, we also, it's not just individual stocks that these students can invest in. They can invest in mutual funds. They can invest in bonds, which might be interesting in the next 9 to 10 weeks. And they also can invest in ETFs. And oftentimes for an ETF, what we're teaching these young people is maybe they have a sector they think is going to really be in the in a growth pattern in the next few weeks. And so they might be looking at the farm and heavy equipment or railroad or utilities, energy, entertainment. You know, that's in the news right now, Netflix and Disney and Warner Brothers and, you know, and these takeovers. And the reason we kind of want them to talk about some of the volatility maybe wouldn't feel good for me and my own personal choices, but these guys at 9 or 10 weeks, they got to find deals that they can buy low and sell high. And what we teach these young folks is they might do the analysis and they go into a position on a company and it might drop in the first 3 days and it's panic. And their first instinct, because it's just behavioral science, mm-hmm. your first instinct is to sell. Well, what did you do? You locked in your loss. If you feel like your analysis is strong and you're going to be able to stick with them for multiple weeks, months, in the real world, it's years, then you stick to your strategy. But for young people, they're getting those experiences on a daily basis with real-time trading. A lot of them are going to go towards the tech sector. Those are our biggest market cap companies. They're in the news. They're what young people know. But we want them to think about all these other sectors. What's insurance going to do? What's financial services, banking? You know, there's a lot of interesting analysis that can be done in those different stocks as well.
You know, here's a sector, and Skip, we're going to take your call now. Skip in Hamilton, it's the mining sector, right? If you look at what silver has done, what a ride that has been. But over a 9-week period, that might have been attractive to some of these kids. And you know, you got to sell it right as well. Today is our first official Dax Montana Mining Day. This was from a 2025 law out of the legislature. Republican Curtis Schomer out of the Great Falls area sponsored this as well. He's a miner. And they picked this day, just FYI, because this is the date that they actually chose the motto for Montana, Oro y Plata, gold and silver, even though Montana was still years away from becoming an official state. Anyway, with that set up, let's go to Skip listening in Hamilton on KLYQ. Good morning, Skip.
Good morning, Tom, and thank you, sir, for coming on, because Tom just brought up silver. I mean, silver is an example, which is kind of like my favorite little investment tool, and it just doubled in spot price since beginning of August last year till 3 weeks ago, and all of a sudden it dropped and lost another 50% of its value. It's that volatile. But meanwhile, I really appreciated the things you said. Even since I just called in, you spoke about the total diversity of that you are offering these young people and the whole spectrum. I wasn't sure when you started how wide the spectrum was of the things that you covered, and then you told me all the different aspects of the market that you are including in the program, and I thought that was wonderful, because I wish I had that kind of a program that I could have participated in when I was in my regular education as a young man. So meanwhile, would you please explain some of the I think you brought up ETFs. I think you said that. Would you please explain what that is? And then my bigger question was, would you please explain what it is, that if you know in your background, what it is that makes the metals, for instance, so volatile? What is the real reason behind that, so that people can understand all the promotion you see on TV and radio about buying and selling precious metals, what to be careful of, just in case. The young people need to learn that too.
Thank you.
It's very attractive when they hear it. So I'll leave it at that, and thank you for telling us what you told us today.
Yeah, thanks, Skip. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. And it reminded me that I probably ought to start at the top of the hour by saying, I do not provide financial advice personally. You cannot hold me accountable. I'm teaching these concepts of how to approach the market. But when it comes to individual strategies, you really probably ought to check with a financial advisor and a professional. But he asked the question, what's an ETF? And we do throw that name, those letters around. An exchange-traded fund, and it has some unique advantages. It's a basket of securities, stocks, bonds, but it shows up with instant diversification because it's taking a lot of different securities and putting them together within a sector. And there's, you know, and you can kind of have lower fees because they're not tied to, really an individual stock that has to like be timed out perfectly. And ETFs can be great. And they're fantastic. If you find a sector that you want to be in, but you don't want to like just go in on just one individual company, like you just believe that copper is going to have a run, or that critical minerals are going to grow. You're watching, like, there's a lot of ETFs around, you know, defense space, energy, EVs. That you can find your what you believe is a general directional thing happening, and then there's many ETFs you can go and invest in. And and again, it's going to have a little bit less of that volatility. And for our students, and by the way, I didn't share this, and it's kind of in the weeds. We don't allow these young people with their 100,000, they can't go in 20%, any more than 20% on an individual stock.
Oh, okay.
We're requiring they diversify. They're going to need to find multiple companies to invest in. And that's really one of the lessons that we want them to come out of this experience with.
Yeah, I got a minute. Share a little more. I mean, how do you encourage them? Where do they look to find good information? Yeah.
Yeah. What we do is we teach them some really basic analysis. Like, we want them to understand, what market cap is. You know, it's not just the stock price. It's basically, you know, it's the price they're trading at versus how many shares they have outstanding. We're going to talk to them about earnings or their EPS, the price over earnings. And then we're going to take those basics and we apply. And again, this is just a very active tool. We use, and there's a lot out there, by the way, but we use finviz.com, FINVIZ.com. You can go to a map, see all the S&P 500. It's color coded. You can see, I'm looking at it right now. You can see bright greens for the companies that are growing today. You see bright reds for those that are moving.
Boy, I love and hate AI. I asked AI on my phone here, if I invested $10,000 in like general stock or mutual funds in 2010, how much would they be worth nowadays? And Gemini, it asked a question. It said, did you do that? And I said, no. And it said, you don't want to know. Okay, I get that. actually, no, the real answer is like some $80,000. And that's sort of one of the things I think that, as we talk with Dax Schieffer again, who's executive director, the Montana Council on Economic Education, the sooner, the earlier that you learn these principles and then learn them well, okay? Not just be told, hey, maybe you ought to do this, or smart kids do that. This is a hands-on program, the stock market game. Dax is here to talk about that, but there's other programs here within MCEE, the Montana Council, again, for Economic Education, that we'll talk about here. Dax, thanks for coming alongside here. Anything to finish up here? The stock market game, it's going on. You got some 900 teams. Usually they're all associated with schools, but it's not too late to get involved in this. There have been some generous supporters, Glacier Bancorp, as you noted. So these are free to participate in. It's $100,000 virtual money. And so, like 9 weeks to make your fortune or lose your fortune, so to speak. And there's real money on the other side of that. That's pretty cool. Is there anything kind of finish up there?
Yeah, that stock market game is off to the races. But if you're a school, if you're a parent out there, if you want your students, your child to participate, talk to the teacher. If they're in a personal finance class, let's hear from them. They can email us directly, mcee@montana.edu. let's get them engaged.
And one thing for the teachers is that you've got like lesson plans online. Is that right?
That's right. And we do a lot of Zoom professional development for teachers. You know, for us, we believe at MCE when we invest in the teachers, that's going to have the real impact for you know, at scale for young people, students. We're going to reach so many more, and that's an important part of our mission. We also do some other, you know, simulations. Stock market game, it's off to the races. But we also do the Big Sky Biz Sim. That's been around nearly 30 years where students are making decisions on how to run a manufacturing plant. That's actually already, that's going. So the next chance to do that will be in the fall. And that is completely supported by First Interstate Bank. Their foundation stepped in and they see the value of having young people get exposed to how to run a business, and they see this program being a great tool for that. And naturally, in Montana, and whether you're in policy or you're in finance or really any element, you know, we want to have young people to be making good decisions, be bankable, be starting their own companies. You know, this is the opportunity to, you know, maybe even, you know, break some cycles where and getting young people success, because for Tom, you and I, we want young people to keep Montana's economy really healthy as we're going to need their help later on. I'll share one thing that's really cool that we're excited about this spring. The National Personal Finance Challenge is something we bring to Montana where we're going to, these students are already taking this material. We're going to test them at the end of the year by April 10th. Teachers basically sit them down for a test. Any teacher who tests their entire class, we're going to guarantee them $100 to give to their top performing team. The top team in Montana, we're going to send on an all-expense trip to Atlanta to represent Montana at the National Personal Finance Challenge. We're going to last year we had a team from Bozeman High School. 2 years before that, we had Skyview there in Billings. Skyview, their teacher took their students to the Nationals. So the National Personal Finance Challenge is free to participate in. Again, they're testing that earning income, spending, saving, investing, managing credit, and managing risk. But what's cool is we have a new sponsor with FICO this year who really, of course, that managing credit is important to them. And they've made it possible that we can do that. Guaranteed prize money for every teacher that's out there giving this to their students. We're also supported by good friend Matt Jones at BNSF. First Interstate Bank also helps us with the finance challenge. And so all these partners coming together make this all possible. For us, it's again testing the material that we know they're learning and that are going to set them up for success.
So, okay, a bit more on this. There's like, and I'm looking at the website here again. It's econedmontana.org. But if you just want to search for the Montana Montana Council on Economic Education, you'll find it. Okay, thank you, Cody. Got 3 minutes here. Teams of three or four students will have 35 minutes to complete a 30-question online exam. So do they take a course leading up into this?
Yeah, we provide support, mm-hmm. but they don't have to take any particular course. The questions are going to be on the state standards and the national standards. So a teacher has the flexibility to use the curriculum they choose. They're preparing these students, but we do have some additional partnerships where we can get them additional material. We again, because we're so focused on experiential learning, we have some one partner called Active Learning Labs that brings this stuff to life so that the students are not just sitting there in a classroom having it sort of spoken to them, but they're engaged and in there. We're really working on interactive software. So we have a lot of support for any teachers that want to bring this, the challenge itself to their school.
That's pretty good news. Then the national challenge will take place in Atlanta, May 31st through June 1st. But you're right now registering kids for this. Testing must be completed by April 10th here of this year. Lots of time. Anything else to add? This is really cool. You know, I wasn't fully aware of all that you guys did. So I'm really glad that we caught up today, Dax, and chatted about this. I think it's vital stuff, too. And thanks to all the sponsors who are making it happen. By the way, first place is worth $1,000 per team in that Montana Personal Finance Challenge. So that's going to be super cool.
Real money with so many generous partners that we have shared goals here in the state of Montana of giving young people these tools to be successful. It's going to benefit all of us all around. And we just appreciate that. These sponsors that are doing it. And heck, if you're a company out there and this resonates and you have that shared belief in giving young people these tools, reach out to us. Let's talk about how you can partner and join these efforts to bring this material to young people.
It really is on each individual, right? Don't count on the government. Don't count on the family trust fund or whatever. Individually, I think that the personal accountability, if we're personally accountable with our finances, I think we have less need for a safety net, so to speak. So good stuff. It starts with education. Dax, I appreciate it. Good luck. And we'll catch up on it down the road, too, okay?
Tom, reach out anytime. I love having these conversations.
Yeah, it was really good. Good spokesperson. Dax Schieffer, once again. We didn't talk about tourism. We'll put that back on the plate down the road. He is also with the Voices of Montana Tourism, but Executive Director of the Montana Council on Economic Education. Just search that and get those kids involved and secure their future.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.